Next item on the agenda is the public hearing consideration of amendments to Regulation 4 VAC 238010 to establish new restrictions for gray trout, commercial, and recreational fisheries to comply with the Interstate Fishery Management Plan. Mr. O'Reilly.
Yes, sir. Last month, staff presented all the technical background to this addendum from ASMFC and information on the status of this resource, and I think the conclusion from anyone would be that it's a highly depleted resource at this time on a coastwide basis. Today, just wanted to reiterate the ASMFC compliance elements of the addendum. And the first one is on the recreational fishery. That is to limit the recreational possession limit as one fish. It's currently six fish. And off to the right, you can see the citation and the page numbers of where in your attached regulation the amendment is shown. In terms of the commercial fishery, another compliance element is to implement a 100-pound landing limit per vessel per day or trip, whichever is the longer period of time, for directed or open fisheries. And this broke out a little bit, but gill net, haul seine, pound net, and out-of-state trawl. Now, in your regulation, you'll see information on the open and closed season, and that the open seasons are added so that we can accommodate this compliance element. Currently, there's no limit. So for gillnet, for example, during the open periods, the directed fishery, there's no limit whatsoever. And that will be reduced to 100 pounds per vessel. So from March 16th until April 30th, and from October 21st to December 30th, there's no limit. This is going to have a significant impact, which I'll talk about in a second, in terms of discards. When you get to the closed seasons, and this is all part of what was set up in 1995, it hasn't changed. Each of those four major gear types has an open season and a closed season, where the open season has no limit, the closed season has a bycatch limit, where half of the other of the amount of the bycatch has to be other species. That's also to be 100 pounds per vessel, and currently there's a maximum of 450 pounds per vessel. The impact from this measure is that also you'll see in the regulation the limit is on a per licensee basis. So if you have a commercial registration or a seafood landing license, you can get up to times three on one vessel. Now this is going to drop down to just 100 pounds, pardon me, per vessel regardless. So this will challenge efficiency a little bit because there's a history of doubling and tripling up in this industry at certain times. And again, if you go to pages 3 and 4, section 50, you'll find the amendments. The other compliance element is we have gear types that account for about 2%, some years less, of our landings. One would be commercial hook and line. Another might be fife net. Another might be crab pots. Those type of gears will not be under the open or close. They'll just be strictly a 100-pound trip limit throughout the year. And that amendment is on page 3. Section 50G. The last compliance element is to reduce the out-of-state trawl fishery allowance, which has been 300 undersized fish under 12 inches that a vessel's been allowed to possess as long as they were not sold. That has been dropped down to 100 fish. And again, the no-sale prohibition carries forward. So all of those are compliance elements, and it's been a while since there have been compliance elements with weak fish, but the implementation date is really the point that needs to be considered. The plans have to be implemented no later than May 1 of 2010. Staff is recommending March 1, 2010. When the ASMFC designed this for May 1, part of that decision was because there are states that don't have a regulatory process. They strictly have a legislative process, and there are many states above Maryland that have them, South Carolina also, and Georgia. So there was no ability to come into quick compliance. The ASMFC recognized this, established a May 1 date. I wanted to just talk briefly, because Mr. Bowden was kind enough to let staff know that probably there'd be those in the gillnet industry that would prefer this to start May 1 rather than March 1 because of the croaker trips that are taken. And since Mr. Bowden let us know that early enough, we could work up information, and I'm not going to go through it. I have the slides, but if you care to look in your packet, there are a couple of figures that have a lot of writing with them that are very explanatory. And what staff tried to do was to look at Mr. Bowden's concerns, and we looked at the periods that normally have croaker trips with weak fish. And in 2007, for example, that was an abundant year for our landings compared to 2006 or 2008. 2007 was the strongest year, although nothing compared to the way things were back as, you know, as early as maybe 2000, 2001. But what we found was that almost 15% of the 645 croaker trips that also contained weak fish had more than 100 pounds of weak fish. So if availability in 2010 is similar to 2007, something has to happen with those 15%. Either they're discarded, either fishermen try and change their behavior, whatever that might be. A lot of the trips, almost 75%, were not only less than 100 pounds of weak fish, they were less than 50 pounds. By comparison, when you look at the other open period, which is October 21st to 12:30, and you look at 2007 information, staff found that a large proportion, almost 25% of the trips during the fall, of the croaker trips that had weak fish, are going to be over 100 pounds if 2010 is like 2007. We did the same thing for 2008 because 2008 was a very reduced fishing year, and that's right next to your 2007 graph. And what we found out was that only about 2% of the March 16th to April 30th, and the reason we're using April 30th is because there's no way around May 1. So even though the open period for gillnets goes beyond May 1 into about the 16th, there's no way to do anything in terms of the compliance being May 1. So we just cut it off at April 30th. And 2% of the trips were more than 100 pounds, but 93% of the trips were less than 50 pounds. So if 2010 availability is similar to 2008, the spring is not a problem as such. However, the fall will be. Again, the fall, it looks like about 34% of the trips in 2008 in the fall fishery with croaker and weak fish were over the 100 pounds of weak fish. So what staff has tried to weigh in coming up with March 1 are the fishermen's needs versus the resource itself. And it is a depleted resource. There's no doubt about that. March 1 would, there'd be some foregone recreational harvest. On the commercial end of it, you know, Mr. Bowden could probably speak to what mitigation the industry's prepared to undergo in terms of these discards. But clearly it looks to us like the fall is where the big problem is going to be, because that's going to be anywhere from 25% to 35% over that 100-pound limit, which you know, that's problematic. So really, that forms the basis of the March 1 recommendation. But we did want to look at all the information because Mr. Bowden had given staff some time to prepare this.
Questions, Mr. O'Reilly? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rob, can you remind us what the status of the stock was when the information was presented to the ASMSC? Is it below?
It's about 14%. Well, it's about 14% of where it would need to be at the threshold. So it's 86% below the threshold. It's on a, it's really sort of on the what the spawning potential or biomass might be, which is 3%, when it should be at 20% as a limit. So it's well below that. The abundance is very low. Everything is very low. And, you know, certainly that's on a coastwide basis. That's not just in Virginia.
Mr. Shea, I'm sorry. Mr. Robbins, you have a follow-up?
I do not. Thank,
you. Thank you. Mr. Shea.
The depletion of the stock is associated mostly with the natural mortality as opposed to overfishing, but this is the one way we, the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission feels that to try to get a handle on this, or?
Well, I looked at that, and to give you an example, the fishing contribution to the status of the stock is just under 20% on an annual removal rate by the fisheries. And put that in par with summer flounder, which is about 80% rebuilt, a very, you know, much healthier stock, it's equivalent. On summer flounder, the removal rate from fishing is about 19-20%. Striped bass, which has been rebuilt completely, the removal there is 17%. So you have two stocks, summer flounder and striped bass, where the removals are similar to a very reduced stock, all from fishing. But yes, when you compare the two, fishing and natural or environmental and natural is causing the larger amount of problems right now. But fishing is significant. Yeah.
Further questions? Mr. Bowden.
Rob, I know you use straight bass and flounder as an example. I think straight bass would definitely be a terrible example because they mature at 8 years old, great trout mature at one. So you could have a lot higher exploitation rate on great trout than you could ever. And I'm not really sure on flounder. I think it's 3+ before they can spawn. I mean, you know, that is apples and oranges in some cases.
Yeah, the striped bass probably is. I was focusing on the removal rate, but yeah, and flounder are probably 50% mature at age one. Again, I think with the this bottleneck that the scientists have termed throughout this probably 2.5 year process at ASMSC is occurring by age one. So if you recall from last month, the recruitment, what the scientists show is recruitment is about average. It's just that getting to the ones and beyond is really a problem. And if that keeps going, then in time there's less 2-, 3-, 4-year-old fish. But yes, thank you.
Further comments?
Not a question.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. Anyone wish to be heard in this matter? Yes, sir.
My name's Keith Blake. I'm a poundnetter.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name's Keith Blake. I'm a poundnetter from the Eastern Shore. And this poundnetter fishery is a... There's a few months that we really need to catch pan trout, but the last few years there haven't been. And I give up a third of my fish traps every year to keep pan trout. During May and June, it's a very important time in our season for getting started throughout the year. So I understand we have to, there's none for us to catch and sell. We need to do our part in bringing them back. But another concern I have is we're going to put more fish traps in now. This is, I think, in Northampton County, 15 or 16 pound nets going to be put in that haven't been fished in the years past. And just kind of consider it might affect it in a different way. And I understand you have to do something about it, and I'm all for it. I remember when we could catch trout. And
hadn't been that long ago either.
It was a good fisher.
Any questions on Mr. White? Very knowledgeable town that I might add. Running for many years.
Not good in public.
Thanks, Keith. Appreciate it. Further comments? Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Bell?
I don't think anybody could logically argue the fact that trout are not in bad shape. They're probably not the worst I've ever seen them, but very close to it. The worst I've ever seen was the late 60s. I fished for 2 years before I ever saw a trout. But, you know, I don't think we can argue that point. We also don't have a real handle on what's causing the problem. We know it's not fisheries causing the problem. It's natural mortality. And nobody wants to look at the obvious. That's pretty well known. You know, whether, for example, straight bass, it may be the fact that they're eating them, or maybe competition between the two species for prey. And it could be the spotted dogfish. We also have problem with discard problems on offshore boats. There's a lot of problems. The main problem I had when I suggested this stuff to Rob was, you know, North Carolina come to Atlantic State Marine Fisheries Commission last month and said they're having a problem already. They see fish. They're allowed to keep them all right now. We're seeing fish in abundance in places. They're not arguing the fact that the fish are extremely abundant, but they still school. And you still have places of high abundance and most places of very low abundance. I can attest to that. I went live. But one reason I suggested May 1st, the fisheries, man-made fishery problem is not causing the problem. We know it's natural mortality. There's been a suggestion to ask Ms. C, what are we going to do? You know, they've been very good at managing depleted fisheries, but not very good at managing recovered fisheries. So we know this is going to recover in time. We hope that when natural mortality lets up. The main reason they're going after man-made mortality is it may slow the process down. If there is a recovery starting and you're having removals, it may slow the recovery down. So removing the man-made effect is going to do nothing to rebound the stock. We know that. Basically, natural mortality is causing the problem, and we're having very good recruitment. Considering the few fish that are left, recruitment is almost average, like Mr. O'Reilly said. So we are getting the age zeros. We're just not getting them past one, and we don't know why. And like I say, all indications of natural mortality, but what natural mortality we can't answer. I just don't want to see us get into a situation this spring that's not necessary. May 1st is the implementation date. We know that the commercial aspect of it is not driving the fishery down, if natural mortality, whatever that may be from. I just can't see if we run into the problem that we're running into in North Carolina right now. And a lot of these fish, if they exist, I'm not even going to say they do because I haven't seen the numbers, will spawn in Chesapeake Bay and Delaware Bay. I mean, that's two major places for them spawning. And, you know, this year we'll know. And I agree 100% with Rob. Most of the bycatch problems is going to be in the fall because it's going to be everywhere. The bycatch problem in the spring is mostly going to be in Virginia Beach, fish moving to the bay. That's the only reason I would like to put it off to May 1st. That's what's required. Some states are not going to make May 1st. They even said at the FMSC meeting they're going to try, but some of them are not going to be able to make the May 1st deadline. The biggest player in the fisheries has always been Virginia and North Carolina and New Jersey. Sometimes Virginia's one, sometimes it's two, sometimes lately it's been three on occasion. But I just hate to see the discard, about 15%. You know, last year might be an anomaly. If we go back, and I'm not saying that it is, I'm just saying it could be. and if 15% over 100 pound, we're still not talking a lot of weight. I'm sure a lot of those that was over 100 pound were just over 100 pound. I just can't see wasting them. Like Randy said earlier back to Flounder, you know, to throw 100 back to save one, and actually you killed at least 10 to save that one, you haven't accomplished the thing. I just don't want to see us do this when we don't have to. May 1st, everybody likes to see everything used wisely. I don't think anybody wants to display them. I think most recreational fishermen would love to see every one of their fish live that they release. But in a case like this, I just think in the spring, it's an anchor gillnet fishery off Virginia Beach. In the fall, it's basically a drift gillnet fishery everywhere. And you're going to have higher survival rates in the fall, just due to the fact that it's a tender fishery compared to in the spring when they're croaker fishing. You have a net down there, sometimes it has a very large amount of croakers in it, maybe 5,000 pounds. Well, by the time you pick out 100 pounds a trout, a lot of them are going to be dead by the time you get to them, due to the fact that you're pulling against the net the whole time you're working. And that's the only reason I really like to say May 1st this year and make sure that the problem we're having in North Carolina doesn't follow through. And this is a terrible thing for me to say. I would rather see a 2008 fishery occur during this closure where we're not wasting many fish when it's 2%. And that's sad because that means I'm agreeing that the numbers need to be down so we don't kill too many. And in fact, I want the numbers up high. But I just can't see wasting stuff that's going to be dead. And in the spring, it is going to be dead. It's going to be a completely different fishery than in the fall. And if you would look back at your year, you would realize that in the spring, that old Virginia Beach area is mostly all anchored gillnets. And in the fall, there's a large amount of drift gillnets. Because in the fall, a lot of the fishery occurs on the eastern shore, and that's all drift gillnets. There's no anchored gillnets except for straight back. So that's my real problem.
Further comments? Matters before the commission for action.
I move. I would say staff recommendation, but it's really not. It's ASMSC's recommendation. But I would like to say the implementation date May 1st to get us by this spring and give us a little more information because we may need to go to ASMSC and do something different. And we are going to have a problem in the pan net, and we may be able to address that through some escape panels or something. So really, I'd just like to say this is the date that it needs to be implemented. Almost everything we ever implemented, we implement up and down the coast on the same day. And for us to jump the gun 2 months, and I certainly understand why Mr. O'Reilly feels that way. I guess it feels like it puts everybody on the same page. Everybody knows before the fishing season starts exactly what it is. And I agree with that. But in this case, you would still know May 1st is that day. So I just want to reduce the five-catch discard.
Second motion.
Let me make sure I understand what you're doing. You're taking this April 1 and changing it to May 1, is that?
Well, he had March 1. I want March 1 until May 1. We'll be under the current law that is required right now. What we currently have is required until May 1st. May 1st, the new requirements kick in, the 100 pound. I'm agreeing 100% with their recommendation there. The only thing is, I want to implementation date May 1st, like across the bottom there, instead of staff recommendation of March 1st, to lessen the discard problem this spring and get us through another spring, and maybe we can see exactly what's going on because we can pay closer attention to where the landings are, what kind of gear they come from.
The second one's by Mr. Holland.
So that would apply also to one fish recreational limit as well. Everything on this whole limit.
It would, but I think that that's probably a good point because I doubt they catch many recreational fishing before May 1st anyway. It may be. Mr. Lane could probably tell about that. I mean, it's usually a summer fishery.
Which is really lucky. Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was prepared to support the staff recommendation today because that was the only option that we had advertised, but I regret that I won't be able to support this motion that would delay implementation. I think the resource is at a critically low level. I think all the biological indicators that were presented to the ASMFC could have easily been used to justify even stronger action. I recognize that there is a significant increase in natural mortality, and that's, as Rob said, part of the bottleneck and the growth of the population, but I think when we have a bony fish like this with high reproductive potential at such a low level of spawning potential, we ought to give it every chance of recovery. And I think the compromise that ASMSC worked out was a good one. But again, I would have a hard time supporting the motion that further delayed its implementation. And I appreciate the consistency concerns that have been raised here in the discussion, but I regret that I won't be able to support the motion.
Further comment? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion is to accept staff recommendations with the exception of an implementation date of May 1st, 2010. Is that accurate, Mr. Bowden? Mr. Bowden?
Aye.
Mr. Fox?
Aye.
Mr. Holland?
Aye.
Mr. Lane?
Aye.
Dr. McConaughey?
Aye.
Mr. Robbins?
No.
Mr. Schick?
Aye.
Mr. Tankard?
No.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes. Thank you very much.